Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
And a very good afternoon to you. Welcome along to Friday Night Racing on a Friday afternoon. If you're watching this live on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/offtheball, the best place to watch all our stuff now is actually on offtheball.com because we stream everything live there, and you can also get your notifications wherever you get them. But if you're listening to us on the radio this evening, then you are also welcome, and I hope the traffic isn't too bad wherever you are. And in the midst of all that traffic might be Jamie Codd. How are you?
Sure.
You've got to drive back down the roadworks.
Yeah, I'm back down to an ace and back down to Monster Evans. So, yeah, thanks for getting me up here on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, sorry about that. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good. Yeah, very good now. Back riding out there this morning. So,
That's the first time?
Yeah, the first time in 3 weeks. So, yeah, it's good to get back up and get going again. Yeah.
We like to bring people back to that moment of their worst injuries. This wasn't your worst injury, you were telling us. We'll go back to that one later on. But what happened 3 weeks ago?
A simple enough fall in Limerick.
It was simple enough. You watched it though, like your man, the horse's feet were all over the. He basically capsized, nearly kicked Jody McGarvey as he was down, and you got a horrible fall, but it's just a simple enough fall.
I got a grand fall. Yeah. Like a little bang on the nose, but that's always going to happen. And it was just Roger Loughran coming on, you know. But like there could be 20 runners. And you mightn't get a belt. There was 5 runners in this, and I got a belt, and that's just the way it was. And look at it's of the lesser scale, like you know. So it's
well, a collapsed lung,
partially collapsed lung. Yeah,
that's important. I remember, actually, I was discussing this earlier. Barry Geraghty got injured before. I think it was before Cheltenham, and he had a partially collapsed lung, I think, and he ended up not making Cheltenham. Or it was some big meeting that he didn't make. And I was talking to Frank Berry on the Sunday at Nace, so it must have been shortly before Cheltenham, and I said, Frank, what's the prospects of Barry making? And he goes, yeah, not good, it's an outlet. And I said, but he's only a partially collapsed lung, he was saying. And he had a thing about it, and he goes, yeah, you can't get partially pregnant, can you? So every time you have a partially collapsed lung, I think of Frank Barry. But you've had worse injuries.
Oh, of course you have, yeah. No, like, if you're only out for 3 weeks, it's not too bad, is it? Do you know? A few other, little bangs and breaks, but on a whole, like nothing major, nothing that's kept you know.
Hang on. Nothing major, a laceration on your liver?
Yeah, but.
Pretty major?
No, they are at the time, but once you're back in 3 to 4 months, like, you know, breaking your leg and doing all those things, they're broken bones and they're things that can you fix. So, like, it's not the end of the world. You're going to miss what you're going to miss, but then you get back and. You know, actually sometimes it does, you know, harm to get a little break and get refreshed and recharge the batteries and away you go again, you know.
Do you need to forget about it in a way?
A little bit. You can never forget about it, but, you know, you're always reminded. But it is nice to, just to switch off sometimes from racing and, you know. And that's what injuries do. Like, we don't get holidays as such. Like, there's one or two weeks during the year where they give you 7 days. Like, but it's not, you know, you're not really taking, you don't switch off because you're thinking about the next. But like when you get injured, you can actually switch off, and then you can switch off for however long you're out for. If you have a broken leg and you're going to be out for 12 weeks, you know, that first 4 or 5 weeks before you have to get back into rehab, it's not too bad. Like, you know, you're sitting off there and getting fat and doing all them things. So it's, you know, it's all right.
What's your pain threshold like though?
I'd be okay. Yeah, I'd have a good pain threshold, I'd say. Yeah, I would.
That was a lacerated liver in this.
That's sore now. Yeah. That's a sore one. That's
how did that happen? What happened there?
Just I was riding in the Banks race in Punchestown, and one of Dennis Murphy's, and not Ruby's double, the double closest to the stands, and just took a bit of a liberty at it, and I went out over the bank, and I got a nice little fall again. I was happy enough. And what came rolling down the bank after me was the horse, and he just went boom, bang, get down, and just.
So it's more pressure than a kick, kind of.
Yeah, it's more pressure. Yeah, it's the actual, you know, that hard contact.
Yeah.
Is it your ribcage that causes the laceration on the liver?
No, the liver. The first time I did the liver, that wasn't anything to do with breaking ribs or anything. That I only had a laceration on the liver that time, but by God, that was sore. That's as sore as I thought. Now, I spent 10 days in the ICU in Vincent's, you know, so.
Because we were just talking about it, the lads were just talking last night about the injury that Shane Duffy suffered when he was just a young lad. And I think they were talking about 3 litres of blood were lost. Like, that was touch and go, very quick action on behalf of, I think, the matter saved his life.
Yeah.
Like, It's that kind of level of...
It is, but then it's a great organ because it heals itself. So once they can control the bleeding and all that, like, it's just...
It regenerates.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's fine. But it took a while now. That was a sore one now, yeah. Yeah, that was the sorest.
Do you ever get second thoughts that I'm a little bit crazy here?
No, not really, no. I think maybe a little bit crazy anyway, but not any crazier than normal, I suppose. No, always touch wood so far, always wanted to get back up on a horse, and, you know, if that continues to be like that, I'll do it till...
So this morning, does that feel a little bit special then? Is there like...
That's nice
bit...
to get back, it is. It's just
a little
nice,
bit
you know?
Of nerve just before you get up?
No, it's just that you want to get back. Like, you're sitting there for 3 weeks, basically, and I actually thought maybe I might get back last week, so I was... You know, I was a little bit anxious this week because I just wanted to get back. And, you know, like, there's the Leopardstown Racing Festival coming up there in 2 weeks, and them are the days you want to be back for, you know?
Yeah. When the lung collapses, do you know straight away?
I didn't. I never had a collapsed lung before, so I didn't. I just thought the ribs were broke. And once I got up and got my breath, I walked to the ambulance, but then I went downhill a bit then after that again, right. You know. But in fairness to Richie Downey, he was down there, the doctor on the day, and he said it, and I going getting into the ambulance, he said, no, I said, it's your lung, he said. So, you know, fair play to him.
Yeah, and are you gasping for breath at that point?
Yeah, I was fairly gasping now. it was fine. Yeah.
Were you ever a smoker? Or?
I did. I smoked from I was 15. Until about 28 or 9.
It's the first illegal pursuit you're going to mention on the show.
I met my good wife then and went off.
Robin just said there's no... But I'd say most, if you were smoking, when things like that happen, when you're just like, gee, hang on a sec, these matter. And I'd say when you're gasping for breath, you're like, you appreciate just being able to...
Probably now, yeah.
It must be like one of the most frightening things in the world when you're running out of oxygen. You're just like, oh God, what can I do here? Like,
it's fucking scary now. I'd say, all right, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Do you need match fitness? When you were riding out this morning, were you as good at riding? I know it's riding out, so it's not a race, but like, do you feel like, yeah, I'm this straight away, I know exactly what I'm doing again, or do you need a little bit of time?
It's like riding a bike. You don't lose it, but it's just to actually get comfortable back on a horse. Do you know that you're not in pain or anything like that? And thankfully I wasn't this morning, so touch wood now, in another 5 or 6 days' time, I should be good to, do you know, get passed by the doctor early or maybe late next week. And then
the lads that break their legs, though, like, and the lads that you can see are nearly hobbling in normal walk now, and there are a few jockeys who are not actually walking as normal because of the injuries. Does that affect you in your sit on a horse and how you crouch and all that, when clearly you are a bit injured from just war wounds, really, like?
Yeah, it would. Like I broke my left femur twice, so my left leg is a fraction shorter than the right leg, obviously.
Because of the brakes?
Yeah, because of the brakes. And there was a time then when I broke that leg then that I had a few pins in at the hip, and I had to get them taken out because basically they were causing pain, aggravation in the hip, like, and I was, you're sideways, like, after it. You don't know where to, you know, you're trying to take the pressure off there, so you're actually putting more pressure on another part of your body. And it's hard, and lads do it, like, in fairness, you go through the pain barrier. But to be fair, being a jockey as well, you're not a runner, you're not playing hurling or football, or you're not, you know, you have a horse underneath you doing the work for you. So basically, once you can get comfortable and you're not in much pain, even if you're out of line a small bit,
you get away with it.
You'll get away with it, yeah. Yeah, definitely, you know.
You have to love it, though, to...
You have to love everything, though, don't you? Like,
we don't put our body through the ringer to do this. Like, we know, there's occasional threats to Johnny's life if he tips a bad horse or says something ridiculous about, you know, whoever, the GAA generally. But like, we're grand. You, like, it's, you know, every day, there's, as Ruby says, there's an ambulance following you guys around when you're doing your work.
There is. And it is. But like, look, it's a sport we love, and we love horses. And yeah, it kind of, that makes up for the whole thing. And, you know, riding winners and, you know, being a part of the whole thing, it's...
The winners thing, is that the drug in the middle of all this that... Is the adrenaline?
Winning is what drives you, really. Like, it drives you in anything from playing hurling and football when you're younger there to, you know, whatever you're doing along in a sport, you want to win, you want to compete, and you want to try and be as good as you can be, really, do you know? And you need a lot of luck along the way.
How do you compare the winning compared to jumping a fence at speed, like? because that's the thrill, and then winning is maybe the kick or whatever. But
jeez, if I could get away with winning and not having to jump the fences, sure it'd be grand. But no, the thrill of jumping fences, yeah, it is that as well. Yeah, there is. There's a great buzz off it. Yeah, do you know.
Imagine Patrick Mullins, like, for an amateur rider getting to spin on Duvan at Cheltenham last year. Like, must be nothing better than that, really.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky enough.
Fail, obviously.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to ride in a 2 mile chase in Punchestown. It was the against Undersaw, and
Dr. Phoenix, was it, or
no? It was a horse of Jeremy Scott's. Where or when horse?
Yeah,
I can't think of his name. He was actually a good horse, but do you know, just to be down looking at the first fence alongside Undersaw was enough for me. And I got a great kick out of riding in that 2 mile speed around Punchestown. Good ground, you know. It's like it's a great kick, like, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're one of the most successful amateur jockeys in the history of the sport. At what point do you decide that you're going to remain amateur? Is it 16, 17 when you realise that that's your course in the, or is it like?
No.
Did you weight wise, you would have been alright.
No, weight, I might have been okay. I tell you, I started in Willie Mullins's, and. I got going there. I was there a couple of years and I got a couple of rides and everything was fine and started to get a couple of winners. And I asked him one day, he probably wouldn't remember, but I said it to him one day. I said, "Geez, Willie, I was thinking maybe I might turn professional." And he kind of just looked around and very quick he just said, "I think you should stay at what you're doing." And after that, I never thought about it again. And that was it.
That's what it was. Yeah, Willie Mullins is a lot to answer for.
Well, he does. Well,
he probably had a rake of jockeys at the time. Probably even had David Case would have been there. Ruby would have been there.
I know,
maybe even James Nash was there.
James Nash was there, and he was the amateur there at the time. And then I suppose I came in underneath him and started to ride a few. I had the claim and all that. But like,
that could have Willie could have just actually not even put any thought into that.
So. Yeah, but I was still 10.5 stone at that stage. Like,
and what age?
Do you know? So like you're.
That's manageable, though.
It's manageable, but yeah, I like my food now.
You like your food, yeah?
I like my food, yeah. Yeah, I do like my food.
Jamie could have been top professional.
But see, lads say that, like, and I've heard that about the likes of Derek and Nina and Katie and all that. You need a lot of luck, and you're taking on the creme de la creme. Like, you're taking on Ruby, Barry, Paul Carberry, all, and you're it's basically you're as good as the rides you have as well, Johnny. Don't forget that.
Like, that's, you get better rides as amateur.
Absolutely. Like, would I have got the rides over Ruby Walsh? Would I have got the rides over Barry Gary? I don't think so.
Mm.
Do you know?
But you never got the chance to become that everyday professional because you went down that different route of points and bumpers, more or less.
Yeah, so, I did.
You know, it's kind of like the footballer who plays League of Ireland, but he never did it pro, so he doesn't really know if he had a full-time regime how he would have been.
Yeah, true.
You know, but it's. I still think like amateur is a bit of a misnomer anyway in racing because they're amateur nominally, but they're every bit as good really. It's just they're kind of riding less, but they're riding very good horses as well. And it just turns out that they're riding in point to points, which at this stage is basically another extension of professionalism anyway. So you're riding very good horses who there's so much riding on in terms of them winning. Like they could be worth 400 grand. So you getting this wrong. Is actually there's a lot of pressure on you, a lot more than you think, and there might be more people watching the point to point than there would be, you know, at a top track on a Sunday in Ireland. You know, so it's people don't understand how big point to points are anyway. You know.
No, but point to pointing is, and that's probably another good reason why I didn't kind of look at it more, turn professional. Was I love point to pointing.
Derek O'Connor was the same as that.
I genuinely do. It's
So you can you not do point to pointing if you're a professional? Or like
you have to be an amateur.
No, you have to be an amateur. Okay. So basically, as an amateur, you can ride it in point to points, or else you get a different license. You get an A, B, and C license. So an A is restricted to bumpers, B is point to points and bumpers, and then C is against professionals, bumpers and point to points.
Okay. So you've got a C license.
I have a C license, yeah. And
is there a set number of times you can ride as an
amateur? Yeah, against professionals, you have 21 rides a year.
Okay.
Unless it's family horses, I think there's a bit of leeway there to what you can actually, you know, what you can ride. And
I was doing a piece of racing post a few years ago. I had to go to a point to point in Killa, which would be sort of East Cork, more or less.
Yeah.
And so the first point to point I'd been at, which I'm ashamed to say, but there were 18 bookmakers there, I remember that. I'd say there was, could be 1,500, 2,000 people at it. And the local Camogie Club or the local GA Club, they were running like kind of soup and tea, and anything you paid in went straight back to the club. and some of the horses running that day, there were some really good horses running, and the vantage point, there was a great view, and there was an unbelievable community spirit about the place because it was the local farmers' field, the Hennessy's, I think, in Killa. And I remember coming back and I was thinking, that's kind of what National Hunt Racing was more so than is now, where it's kind of everyone, so many people watch racing at home on TV now. You don't get that in point to points. You have to go. Everyone was wearing wellies. There were kids rolling around in the grass even in mid-January. And there was an unbelievably unique grassroots atmosphere about it. And I was thinking, if you were to sell racing, you could sell an awful lot worse than this. If you could compare this to the Curragh, even the Curragh, which has had a massive facelift, and I mean this, a lot of people, be they tourists or Irish people, would say, geez, I prefer Killa, you know, just because it has that unique feel about it.
Yeah, but Pint of Pints then as well, people say grassroots, that's, it is grassroots, but...
Become very professional.
I know it has, it's changed, it has changed a bit since when I started, but you can still pay your tenner in, get your race card, drive your car into the field, park from here to there away from the last fence or second last fence or wherever you want to, you know, get out, walk around, go into the weigh tent, meet the jockeys, see the declarations desk. You can go down, see a horse being saddled. You know, like it's, you know, for 10 euro in or whatever it is on the day, like it's, you know, it's amazing what you can see, like, whereas you're just not restricted, you know?
What you're thinking as well is, like, if this could be my father's field turned into a racetrack, and you just to get that into your head, like, because that's what it is, effectively.
You must have seen a significant change in it, though, in the level and the quality of the horses. There was a stat, I think, that 25% of the entries in Cheltenham last year had had their start in a point-to-point in a field in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's amazing.
It is, but it's been going on a long time now. Like, it hasn't just... I suppose the sales has brought it to more prominence, really, you know. But, like, there's been some great point-to-point people over the years, like the Costellos and all down from Clare. Like, and they've been at this a long time.
But were they ahead of their time then? We'll say Best Mate and all that. Were they... Like, Best Mate obviously came through that, but now it's, like, every second horse... Like Malone Road just turns up, Sam Crow turns up.
Yeah, but there's more producers doing it. Like Padge Berry back in the day, like they were just, as you say, ahead of the game. But nowadays, like, it is more of a business. There is some savage producers of young horses, like real good horsemen. Like people have this, they perceive the whole thing like as being, you know, they're getting at them early and maybe they're galloping too much early. But that's a load of codswallop. Like it's, these lads, if they gallop the horses too much when they're younger, they go lame. The horses wouldn't stand up to being able to run. You know, a point to point, you run over 3 miles, jump 15 fences. So, like, if they're being kind of overused as 3-year-olds rising four, they're not going to be able to last. Like, and the figures are showing that they are lasting, and you know, they're throwing up some unbelievable horses.
If you had a horse now, a young horse, would you try to aim at a point to point or a bumper or both?
It depends on...
If you're trying to sell them, it's a point-to-point.
If you're trying to sell them point-to-point, obviously, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think it does. It's a great grounding. Like, you see with the O'Leary's there, they use it as a learning, you know, a learning curve for their younger horses as well. So, not them all, but, like, a lot of them. And, no, it is. It really is.
That's the mad thing, Ger. So, if you ran in a field in a four-year-old maiden below in Ahabulog or something like that, or Drumahan, there's every chance you'll sell for a lot more than if you won a bumper impressively at somewhere like Punchestown.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's amazing, but it's completely justified.
Explain why, though.
Because they know they're going to be long-term chasers, for one thing, and just the standard is so high that if you have a four-year-old maiden, there could be four or five good horses in that race, like, and the horse that's second could be fetching 300 grand.
Right.
Do you know, it's like, and that's, it's just become so normal.
Not all, no.
Not all, but, like, it's not uncommon anymore.
Like, you see the horses there that cost all the money. Like, there's a lot of good horses that are sold for 80 grand, 100 grand as well. Like, you know, and just because they cost the big money, it doesn't mean that they have to be good either. Like, there's a lot of foals yearlings sold for a lot of money every year as well. And, you know, it's not always that big priced horse that's going to get you there. You'd like to think it would, pedigree, confirmation, all those things. You'd like to imagine that they're going to last, but you often throw in like your Denolis and your, you know, so on. You know, they're going to.
Its place in the hierarchy is interesting, and seems to have changed a little bit. Like, it's a far more pronounced scouting network for, like, it's kind of an academy system, really, for the 3 and 4 year olds.
It's the biggest academy going now. It's more so the numbers. I was talking to Richard Pugh about this, actually, and he was saying that before Racing TV, which was Racing UK, took over the Irish Racing, Richard had his thing on At the Races once a week, the Irish point-to-point scene. And I was actually just thinking about, like, the likes of Malone Road and, you know, these horses who, if you could show them winning their point-to-point before Malone Road ran his bumper in Down Royal when I was up there that day. And I was saying, like, Racing TV should really be all over this, getting footage of the point-to-points, because you'll see these horses in action and you'll go, wow, that was impressive. Mm. You know, and they're, like, Malone Road is one of the most exciting horses I think I've ever seen as a young horse. And
Envoy Allen as well, like, you know, so it is, look, we're in a great time. These handlers, they're going to the store sales, and they're buying these horses for, you know, 30 to 100 grand, and fair play to them. Long may it continue.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Cause of Causes. Do you have favourite horses? Are you allowed to have favourite horses? Is that like a thing?
Yeah, this lad is my favourite horse anyway. Do you know, like, 3 Cheltenham Festival winners, 2nd in the Aintree National, like, that's...
Not bad.
Nah, that's what you want. Like, and he's not the height of the table, like, you know. He's a dinger, an absolute dinger. He was good to me, and... No, he's having a good retirement down in Martinstown now in JP, so it's great for him.
When was the first time you had a ride with Cause of Causes?
The first time was the 4 mile. Yeah, the 4 mile in Cheltenham, the first, 15?
Right.
Yeah, just, I should know that, but...
I was going to say about 5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first time, and then...
Was it heavily fancied at that stage, or...?
Yeah, he was fancied. He was a novice coming, or he was a handicapper coming back into a novice. He hadn't won over fences, so he was eligible to run in the 4 mile that year, and to be honest, I fancied him anyway. And the following year, then, he got into the Kim Muir.
How do you get that right? Like, what's that process?
Well, it's an amateur race in Cheltenham, and to be honest, like, I'm associated a little bit with Gordon, and it just kind of clicked that way, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
He came off the flat, didn't he?
Yeah, Dyna Farmer, yeah. Bred to win a derby.
So, Cause of Causes and Tiger Roll were both ex-flat horses that ended up, basically, one of them won the Grand National, one of them finished second in it, and both won the 4 miler, and both won the cross-country, which is, like, defies convention in a million ways. Like,
Yeah, and the other one won a National. So, like, it's... it is.
That's mad.
And they're both small horses.
They're not big, like, they jumped the national fences.
Yeah, they're both small horses.
Which just shows the attitude they have for jumping the fence, as opposed to the aptitude, like, because they obviously just like it. And sometimes as well, I don't know, if you're actually a little bit smaller, you can be a bit slicker at them maybe at times. Where you're big, you can be a bit cumbersome, like, possibly, you know, because otherwise I can't explain it. Like, well, how can he jump a national fence?
Neither of them are blessed with scope. Like, scope is, like, going down to a fence, how far you can take off or how far you can land at the far side of it. So, like, that...
You have to be nimble.
So these horses are just very nimble. They're as good to the board of a fence.
So you get right up to it?
Yeah, they can get right in and just... They tuck up at their front legs. They're class.
Like, how is that to ride then compared to the horse with scope, like?
Astroscope is brilliant. Like, you see Henry the Bromhead's horse, that special tiara, go off and next thing he lets fly, or Kato Star or whatever. It looks... Visually, it's brilliant, and it does. But... I often find that horses are expending more energy by doing it. I prefer a horse...
cover more ground.
Like. Absolutely, but, like, to do those big, fantastic leaps, honestly, it looks great, and when you're on them, savage, but, like, during a race, you want to be conserving energy, and then, you know, so once you're popping away there and doing that without losing
they're
ground...
They're in their rhythm, like.
Of course they are. Yeah.
All right, I want to just remind everybody that we're going to be previewing the Dublin Racing Festival from the Sugar Club next Thursday. That's the 24th of January. It's an all-star lineup from the world of racing and beyond. Some war stories from Niall Quinn and Nicky English, alongside Kevin Caban, Davy Russell, Rachel Blackmore, Patrick Mullins are all going to be there. Johnny Ward's going to be there. John Duggan's going to be there. We'll be previewing a massive weekend of racing taking place at Leopardstown on the 2nd and 3rd of February, where top jockeys and trainers will be competing in 14 races, 8 Grade 1s, and €1.8 million in prize money. So our night is going to be an exclusive off-air event. The only way to enjoy it is to be there on the night. Keep listening to Off the Ball for your chance to win the very last remaining VIP tickets. It's all with thanks to the Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown Racecourse on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of February. You can get your tickets for the festival itself at leopardstown.com. We've been talking a good bit about the going and how it is completely changing the makeup of certain horses' seasons. We're hearing Presenting Percy, which at the moment is the favourite for the Magners Cheltenham Gold Cup, is going to be in action in Goran next Thursday.
Yeah, he's. I suppose if you're talking about conventional chasers and cause of causes and Tiger Roll, the campaigning that President and Percy got last season was, without a shadow of a doubt, the oddest campaign I've ever seen of a good horse. And only Pat Kelly, who's a very enigmatic fellow Galway man, could have manufactured his campaign in that he started off in a beginner's chase at Galway against Maldini, who was a second season novice, owned by the same connection, owned by Philip Reynolds and trained by Pat. He then went to a novice race, a graded race, in which he was beaten. He then rocked up in the Porterstown Handicap, which is an all-age senior race, over 3 miles five on heavy ground. He was top weight. He won. He then went for the Galmoy Hurdle, which he won. And he then went for a grade two senior chase, which he was second in to our Duke. And he then went back to a novice race at Cheltenham. And there are so much, like nobody, no other trainer would do that. But it didn't do any harm. And I love to see horses mixed in hurdles and fences in a season. I think it might actually be no harm to them. He's a brilliant jumper of fences, but hopefully he'll come to the Galmoy Hurdle. We had Philip Reynolds as a backup today if Jamie reneged on us, but Philip said he might come on later in the season. But he just hopes for a bit of rain, and I think it's yielding ground at Gorn at the moment. But there is rain forecast. Lorcan Wire, the clerk of the course at Leopardstown, he was kind of he was nearly jumping up and down when he said we're 40 to 50 mil, and I think he repeated it to Kevin O'Ryan. He said 40 to 50 mil, and as somebody who's lived in Dublin the last year, I can't remember it raining in Dublin. I genuinely cannot remember.
No, it was
raining
the day, and I was like, what is this?
I can't reiterate enough how odd this last 8 months has been with the drought, with extreme heat, with no cold weather. They had a story in the Irish Times this week. It was like big chill on the way, and they were like, it might get to -3. Yeah. I was like, we're in January. Well, like, how is this even a story? And it didn't get to -3. It hasn't even been that cold.
No, it's a bit chilly today.
A bit chilly. Like, so hopefully the rain will come, but I think it is coming. But I just found it insane and very, very worrying. I've kind of probably gone on about it a bit, but I do think it's very worrying for racing.
Yeah.
Because it's what will happen this season is the good horses who are novices, a lot of them won't really be exerting. They'll just stay, wait for next season and just hope it rains. But there's a very real worry at the moment that the whole season will go by without proper heavy ground.
I'm reliably informed by our weatherman from Donegal. There's a cold spell coming from the east next week and it could snow, so that wouldn't be great.
Snow would help.
The milkman in Donegal.
Yeah. Yeah. A man who goes by the flowers or something. Yeah. Is it?
No, Enda from Donegal.
Oh, Enda, yeah.
In the office there.
It is alarming though, like for racing. And
why is it alarming for racing?
Because I don't know if you can plan anything anymore. And
no,
the amount
ground
of horses, like this season for owners, for a lot of owners, has been an absolute calamity because they just haven't been able to run their horses. Willie Mullins has run horses in 3 races over the 14 races in Ireland this weekend, which is the middle of January. That's unheard of. He just won't run them on this ground. There was firm in the going description at Thurles, I think, this week. It's completely insane. And if they want, even if they get the 40 or 50 mils at Leopardstown, Leopardstown's water level must be so low at this stage that it's going to make a negligible difference. Now, maybe you'll say that the horses will handle it and that at Cheltenham they'll handle it, but you're going to be reluctant to risk horses on that ground, and there are a lot of horses who want heavy ground, they're just not getting it.
Yeah, but just because Willie Mullins can't run his horses
and Gordon Elliott
and Gordon Elliott
and Jessica Harrington and anyone and Pat Kelly,
but who's winning the races then?
It's been spread out maybe a bit.
Absolutely, sure. How is that a bad thing? No, that's
Yeah, I'm all for that.
No, look, if they're not going to run their horses and someone else is, fair play to them. They're picking up the prize money.
It's the longer term weather inconsistency that I'm worried about. That the seasons don't seem to exist anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just what winter have we had? We have had no rain and no. It's probably been about 8 degrees, 10 degrees nearly every day.
We could have a February, March winter like we did last year.
That's it. Like,
you know, that's possible.
I've never been praying for rain. I don't pray, but pleading for rain as much. Just because I don't think it's normal how this, like walking the Hill of Howth the other day and people were in t-shirts in mid-January, I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah, but look, like we were washed out with this time last year and then the snow came. So like, you're right, the seasons are different, but it's just, that's just...
It's erratic.
Time. Yeah, it's erratic.
We need to cut down our meat consumption as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A lot of things to do, like...
Is that wearing the vegan t-shirts, yeah, and all that, yeah.
Racing goes vegan.
Yeah. Jamie, tell us the difference between Gordon and Willie. You've obviously worked closely with both of them.
Be honest now, Jamie.
I'll be honest, all right. They're two very, very driven men, and they're two in different ways now. Willie is, I think he has more of a natural feel for it, but he has more experience. What Gordon is doing at the minute, I think, is just incredible. Like, he's not even, is he 40? He just turned 40. So, like, for what he's been doing for the last 10 or 12 years since he won the National, like, it's absolutely crazy. So you'd imagine in time he's going to get better and better and better, you know, if he gets the right horse. But what Willie does, I just think he's, Willie is fantastic. He really does. He gets him so fit. I think the gallops that he has gets him that fit, and then he's, you know, he's able to turn horses inside out and nearly get inside the horse's mind, nearly, do you know?
What is it about the gallops?
During the winter now, when it rains, the wood chip. See, the difference with wood chip gallops, when it rains during the winter, they get very heavy, so they get deep. Whereas a sand gallop during the winter, it packs a bit more, so they ride a bit, it rides a bit better. A sand gallop can ride too good nearly. And then vice versa, in the summer, the sand gallop rides deep because it's dried out, and then the wood chip would dry out and it rides too good.
Okay.
So, you know, so Willie has the best of both worlds. He has a wood chip and a sand gallop, as does Gordon. So that, I think, you know, that's why they're, you know, their fitness and all that is.
So at any time of the year, you can decide, we want to see what they would be like on heavy ground, we want to see what they would be like on fast ground, and you flip from one track to the other.
That's it. Well, no, I just think heavy surfaces, whatever gallop you have, a wood chip or a sand, I think you're able to keep horses sounder on it.
Okay.
By, you know, if you're, it's like you're running down the road too much, like you're going to get sore. Whereas if you're running in a bit of loose sand on the beach.
Yeah, if you cross Willie's gallop, it's like, it's kind of like
how it feel.
Yeah, it's like you're thinking of quicksand. If you literally got into something that it's hard to get out of, it's that deep. Like, whereas if you go to Damien English's and he gallops horses on the beach, then it's like running on, almost like running on the road, like, you know. So, but Willie's just, it's easy to see how he gets them fit.
Yeah.
But they're just two, they're very driven men. They focus on what they want to do. Like, they just want to train winners and have good horses, and, do you know.
They wouldn't be full of self-platitude either, which I like. There's never, they like winners, but they never praise themselves, really.
No,
it's
no.
Just like,
no,
well,
no.
They might actually say, like, I got the trip all wrong with that horse, or trainer error, but very self, you know, effacing.
Is there room for somebody else to come in and challenge the two of them at that same level, or is that?
Well, like Joseph is definitely, you know,
more runners than.
Yeah, he's only, you know, he's 23 or 4, like, so. Like, he's in at an earlier grade than Gordon, or an earlier age than Gordon. So, like, what he's doing when he gets to 40 or, you know, God, I'm scary nearly, you know.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I always, you know, just assume he's going to be mainly a flat trainer, but already. He's
no,
not,
he's,
you know,
nearly 50-50. Like,
He is, yeah. Yeah, and like the likes of Jesse, Henry de Bromhead, like these kind of guys as well, like they're phenomenal. Noel Mead, jeepers almighty, like they're phenomenal trainers and have been for a long time. And I'd say maybe that Willie and Gordon have just got the numbers up as well, you know, to be at that maybe 200 plus horses.
Yeah,
you know.
For you, what happens when you stop riding? What's the next stage of your horse?
When I stop riding, well, to be honest, I work full time for Tats Ireland as well.
Right.
I'm a sales rep for them. So basically, we have sales. We run a sale in Cheltenham and Ascot. So you'd be trying to source horses to get lads that win Pint of Pints or get placed in Pint of Pints and go over to them sales and, you know, trying to sell them over there. And as well as that, then at home, then in Fairy House, in Tats Ireland Fairy House, then we have the store sales and yearling sales and foal sales. And basically, I do inspections and all for that as well. So, but it's something I enjoy, you know. I like working with young horses. And meeting the people, I know a lot of people, and I like it now. It's
would you ever be a trainer? Is that?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Love the idea of it, but no, I don't think so. I actually prefer bringing on foals, yearlings. I actually trade a few horses myself, and foals, yearlings, and bring on young horses, breaking, and all that as well. So, you know, no, I enjoy that too much. No, I don't think I'd go down the route of training.
It seems you have to have that bug, or you don't have it, and there's no in between. You can't kind of be a little bit pregnant when it comes to training.
Yeah,
just dealing with owners and all that. And
owners are, they can be tricky, but like that's what you're buying into as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you, when you're going training, it's like anything. You need somebody to pay the bills, and you need the horses as well. And it's about managing them as well. You have to manage owners. You have to manage your horses. You have to manage your staff. You have to be.
You've so many aspects of planning the right race.
Honestly,
like,
yeah.
Knowing when the horse should or is over the top. Knowing how to bring a horse on with a view to next year. But knowing that the owner wants them to run now, and like, there's so many things. You have to be a diplomat. You have to be.
There's so many good people out there as well. Like there's so many people can train horses, but it's probably bringing that all together to manage the whole thing.
Like, there's a bang average trainer who can basically go to the bar and get an owner just by socialising, and then there's a really good trainer who just doesn't do that. He's too quiet, and a lot of them are somewhere in between.
That's right. So,
Okay. Let's move on and look at some of the races at the weekend then. A reminder, Friday Night Racing is brought to you by goracing.ie. You should check out that website in advance to help you plan your day at the racecourse. Let's talk about some of the races in Ireland this weekend. We're looking at Thurles on Sunday. We're also going to mention Ascot tomorrow. Your bet is Tell Me Annie. It's at Thurles on Sunday at 2:40. And a reminder that we finished second last week at Fairy House. But our injured jockey's charity pot stands at €1,485, which is exactly what it was last week.
Yeah.
Another €100 back, courtesy of the tote.
Yeah, hopefully, Tell Me Annie. Declan Queeley, who you probably know quite well.
Yeah, Declan.
Trains her. She's actually a 10-year-old, and I think she only was running first time really at the track as an 8-year-old 2 years ago. But I really like her. I think she's just real genuine, typical chaser. They actually started her off over fences as a 9-year-old going on 10 in a grade 2 at Cork, which was 42 days ago when she was fifth behind Camellia Decott. But she was well backed, and I like the fact that she didn't get a solo up front, and I think she'll be written off here. She could be 14-1. I think she's actually more than capable of winning this race. She's a good mare, very tough. If she can get out in front, she could have a big, big chance. And Andrew Lynch will have probably gotten to know her a bit more after our first chase run.
After all our talk about Felix Desi last week, none of us were on it.
Yeah, he was very well fancied. Horse Jamie would know as well. He's just, again, it's the beauty of racing. He's kind of a mind of his own, in the way that you can't really restrain him to an extent. You just kind of have to let him do his own thing. And
yeah.
In fairness, it was a brilliant performance. Like, it looked a decent enough race, and he never looked like being caught.
No, he's a horse with a lot of talent now. You don't win two bumpers. I think he won two bumpers. He's won a pint of pint now in two bumpers. And, he's just a free going sort and jumps well. So, no, he could keep stepping forward now.
Definitely a trendy horse before Cheltenham last year that everybody was banging on.
Oh, big time, then. Yeah. But he wasn't a horse with the Cheltenham bumper. Like,
he's still only beaten 5 or 6 lengths.
Yeah, despite running way too keen.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, he's still only beaten that. Like, so he's... He's he could
over fences now. Fence, he'd be interesting a free going 2 mile chaser.
Are we looking at Ascot?
We can start off with Ascot. I think for the likes of Matchbook is an exchange that is obviously trying to compete against Betfair and Betdaq and so forth. And it would have paid pretty big prize money sponsor the Matchbook Clarence House chase in Ascot tomorrow, and for three horses to show up. Despite the fact, I'm pretty sure it was reopened, $8,000 for coming fourth, which obviously is going to be shared by the other three now.
Right.
Now, trainers have their own prerogative, but I can't see how at least one or two other horses wasn't entered here. You've a chance of coming second to win $32,000.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat Altior unless calamity befalls him. But this race is not good. There are three runners here. Altior only ran 3 weeks ago in a similarly small field when he was 8-1 on, and he's going to be similar tomorrow. This race really, in the overall scheme of things, is a complete irrelevance unless Altior, something goes wrong with him. And what are the odds there? 1-8, 7-8, 16-1. Back in the days, this might have been a handicap, and it would have been maybe a bit more interesting, but it's just disappointing that there are only three runners. And Undesso was taken out. I can kind of see why Willie did that on good soft ground, whatever the reason was there. But it's a disappointing renewal.
It's just a tune-up for Altior, really.
It's just basically a schooling session for him on all known form. That's not to... Like, Fox Norton's a good horse, but how he's rated only £8 below Altior, to me, like, he's not within... He's probably not within a stone and a half of him in terms of ability. Altior is different gravy to Anthony that's going at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, he's exceptional. He's as good as I've seen in a while now. He really is. You'd love to see him stepping up.
Just at the moment we're just not learning that new about him.
But we don't need to. A horse can only win what he's going to win, and fair play to him and all. But like, the way he stays going at the end of a race, like, I know they're only 2 mile races, but like, God almighty, you'd love to see him stepping up and doing maybe what Kate O'Starr did. Do you know, win a, he didn't win a Queen Muller, he was,
he
no, Tingle Creek,
he won a Tingle Creek.
Creek, and then,
and he won what, like 5 King Georges or whatever, and two World Cups. But like, in,
where does Altior end up?
Like, he's 9 now, so I don't know if the bird has flown a bit. Like, 2.5 miles if you ran at Aintree would be an absolute formality for him. Like, I'd like to see them have a go at the King George maybe, but the only thing is, he is unbeaten. Like, so
you protect that.
It would be nice to protect. Like, if I owned him, I wouldn't be mad interested in going over anything other, because he's perfect for 2 miles, because he's finishing kick.
What's the point in protecting it?
Because very few horses do that, and he would go down in history as one of the, like, if I owned him, I would be gutted to see him beaten, because he's almost infallible at the moment.
But wouldn't you like to see him challenged by the best? As opposed to, look, you can put him, it's like a boxer.
He's been challenged by the best over 2 miles. Like, if you run him in a Gold Cup, you're going, it's almost double as long with everything you consider. The fact that he has to slow down, he has to settle, he has to get up the hill after 3 miles and two. So it's such a step up. Like, the King George is one thing, but to try to bring him to the Gold Cup, you're changing everything you've done with him to a large extent, because you're trying to make him into a fast 3 mile chaser, whereas over 2 miles he has a finishing kick at the end of his races that's really extraordinary, because horses are slowing down at the end of his races,
and he's only
he's actually just getting going. And he hit a flat spot at Cheltenham last year. I actually laid him, and I think I backed Duvan, and I was delighted with the way things were going. He looked beaten, and even when Duvan fell, he still looked beaten. He ended up winning by 6 lengths, and it was just like, I remember Paul Townend when he was on here, he was like, I just could not believe the finishing kick he has. It was the same, every time he does it, he's the same, and
seems to just turn in. And
I guess my point is, you'd like to see him challenged in, like, by whoever that is. You need a rival for these horses to capture the public's imagination. If he wins by 20 lengths, which he probably will at Ascot on Saturday, everybody's going, so what?
If he took on Footpad and the Queen Mother, like, it would be something of a race. Do you know what I mean? Potentially, anyway. There aren't much else out there at the moment, but I don't know, Jamie's, but like, if you're at the end of the season, he's 9. Like, it's not that he's not. So you're like, where do we go now? Are we going to have one shot at 3 miles? I don't know. As a sporting gesture, it'd be great, but.
Yeah, but look at Faheen. He had to step up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But he was done, though. Like, do you know, at 2 miles, he was going nowhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But maybe, look at, you don't know what next year might bring. You know, you just don't know. So, but like, at the minute, he is just, he's a jet. He's so, so good.
If Nicky Henderson said right now he's going to run in the King George in December, it'd be very interesting to see what price bookmakers would make him. He'd probably be maybe even money, something like that, because he's definitely the best horse in the race. But 3 miles and 2 miles is a big difference.
Yeah.
So anyone who's listening maybe can say, I don't have a future in odds compiling, but it'd be interesting. You'd never know, though, because Nicky as well, right is kind of, possibly his future is up in the air at the moment. If the owner, I don't know the owners at all, but you'd never know. It'd be great to see, like, because at the moment he's just miles ahead of everything, over 2 miles.
All right, so is it any more in Ascot you want to talk about, or are we going straight to Thurles?
In fairness, a couple of nice races tomorrow in Haydock, 3 Grade 2 races, and they're calling a race after the new one, which I think is fairly bizarre for, you know, he was a good horse, but to be calling a race after him is, to me, is smacks of kind of English sentimentality. But in any event, I do like Global Citizen there to make all the running. He's a free-going horse, Jamie, but he will get
As the empire crumbles, Johnny, what else are we to do but celebrate its dying days?
Yeah. English people, yeah, well, this is it, yeah. The English people, they are a different breed to us, like, and they kind of, sometimes they look more favourably on animals than humans in many ways, and I think they're very soppy about horses, which I wouldn't quite be, and they're very soppy about horses, like the new one. I don't think he did enough to get a race named after him, but so be it. Anyway, I like Global Citizen and that in the 240.
All right. A reminder as well, you can get the tote best price guarantee on this weekend's racing at Navan and Thurles on thetote.com. Do we want to talk about the other race, Thurles, 2:10?
Yeah,
Total Recall.
To get Jamie's view on this.
Tout est permis.
This would probably more back up Jamie's kind of everything will be fine about the ground, because actually this is a good race with invitation only, Tout est permis and Total Recall among three in it. Now, Invitation Only and Total Recall were second and third behind Album Photo on Tremor's big day on New Year's Day. But Tout est permis, who went from Mouse Morris to Noel Mead, he won the Tri-Town. I don't think dropping back in trip would be a problem. He's in great form. Sean Flanagan, the would-be pilot, we had him on lately. He's very happy with him. I don't know what you fancy in it. Total Recall, obviously, it was unbelievable last season.
Total Recall. I thought maybe a sub-lieutenant came back to any bit of form, if the ground was nice.
Yeah.
I thought he was...
Just to get his ground, anyway.
Yeah. So, like, I thought sub-lieutenant now, his last couple of runs have been... They've been fine, but in good company, so... Mm. You know, what is it, 2.5?
Yeah,
2.5 will be back in his favour. And yeah, I like sub-lieutenant for that.
Right, good race, actually, in fairness.
Yeah, it is. It's great to see a good draw going out to Thurles as well. Like, yeah. You know, they do a fantastic job down there.
Thurles actually feels Maloney's a bit more like a pint in a way. Like, it's real grassroots, like in a Thursday.
No, it's not. Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because it's real, like, grassroots racing people are there, like.
I suppose, yeah, but...
still a bit old-fashioned in its
makeup.
Yeah,
it is,
well,
but like, it's...
I like Thurles.
I love Thurles. Yeah.
Even when he's trying to be nice, he ends up insulting people. That's our
job. Yeah, kind of like that, isn't it, Jarre? But no, Thurles is—they do a great job down there, and you know, when everywhere else is underwater, Thurles always survives.
This is the thing,
it's a fantastic venue, and if we didn't have it, we'd be
big time. Thurles was Ireland's only all-weather track until Dundalk came along, and when Thurles has to call off a meeting, you know, global warming is here.
Jamie, it wouldn't be right if we didn't pay our respects to your brother who died last February. We've spoken before about racing having a proper community feel, and you kind of only really fully understand that when you see it in action. And I hope that your family kind of experienced that a little bit in the aftermath of your brother's passing.
Yeah, I suppose when you're dealing with tragedy, this was the biggest thing ever to come on our family. But the goodwill of people is an incredible thing, you know, from the locals in our community, you know, to rally around. And still rallying around mum and dad down home, and my two sisters, Lisa and Zoe. It's incredible. And for racing as well, like, you know, nobody forgets, and you know, people have been fantastic, and it's heartwarming, you know.
Yeah, it's a sport like that, but it is a way of life, really. It's a lifestyle that people have to be committed to, that you kind of have to get up every day, and it is a 7-day a week thing, caring for animals. And I think that's one of the things that outside of racing you don't fully understand, and that's why people stick around together, and that's why people rally together.
Yeah, look, when you're out there, you're in competition against someone, but like when it's all over, then you have to get on with people. And you know, racing is it's close-knit, and you know, long may it continue. Anything that's ever happened big in racing, they really come together, and it's marvellous, you know. It really is.
Jamie, when are you back riding races as opposed to just riding out?
I don't know. Today was the first morning, so I done a little bit this morning, and I'll keep at it. So I'm hoping to be back now for next weekend proper, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
Does the doctor have to sign you off and say,
yeah, so hopefully now you're looking now and seeing how...
Are you like pretending that, no, I'm fine?
Who's better, Envoy Allen or Malone Road?
I know they're two good horses, but they're two different types.
This is the most stock answer ever when you can't say one or the other.
Yeah.
But you're kind of right.
Well, one's going to be a 2-2.5 miler, the other one's a big 3-mile chaser. And, you know, so, but just two very, very good horses.
Road not get 3 miles?
Well, he didn't, he's point to point, and he got it well around a good big galloping track, so I can't see why he wouldn't either, but he just has so much pace as well, do you know? Whereas Envoy Allen, big stride, big horse.
You riding next weekend?
If he runs?
Yeah.
I hope so. Look at it, yeah, I hope so.
When you only have 21 races a year, do you have to like turn down stuff?
No, well, for the amateurs now, in bumpers and that, we don't. It's only against professionals.
Okay, right.
So
you get all the bumpers you want?
The bumpers now, you can ride in as many as you want.
Okay,
yeah.
And all the amateurs, obviously, but then it's 21 professional races.
Against professionals, yeah.
But you still have to be fairly picky, would you?
No.
No, you only get offered 21?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I've gone over the 21 racing in the last 21 years. So.
Right, okay.
So
you only ride big horses in big races. Not a bad way to be.
Well, look at if you can get away with it, but that's not as easy as that as well. Like, you have to, you know.
It doesn't sound easy at all.
In the muck and the dirt now on a Sunday.
And the lacerated liver.
Yeah.
What chance do Wexford Hurlers have in 2019?
It started well. I know Kilkenny were missing a few. Ballyhale weren't hurling, but they're competitive. I don't know.
Change their style of hurling?
Cheapers, I don't know. Was Davy Fitz, do you know, is it going to change? Maybe he might have a trick or two up his sleeve. I'm hoping he does, but it's just good that they're competitive again to a certain level.
Some buzz around the county.
It really is. Like, geez, it brings a lot to it, you know.
60,000 at a Leinster final is insane.
Yeah.
At that game, like, I mean, Galway fans were so outnumbered. It was just like, geez, you'd nearly wish them to go well, like, and the emotion when you beat Kilkenny, like, in Wexford Park the year before, was like, happy days. Or rather, the same year was like watching that game was just like, geez, it must have been amazing. Like,
yeah, no, it is. It does. I was only, you know, in 96 when we won it. Like, I was only, 15 or something? But like
the perfect age.
Yeah.
Well, I was the same age in Galway. We won the All Ireland in 98. Yeah.
Whatever, Johnny. I don't remember that.
That was against Kildare. Actually.
I don't remember that. Never
happened. Haven't won anything since.
Didn't happen, Johnny.
Anyway.
how do you find time to golf? That was the other thing. Apparently, you're like a keen golfer. How the hell do you find time?
There's no time for golf anymore. Two kids, two little girls, and no time.
Yeah. What are you playing off?
See, I haven't rejoined anywhere, so I'm yeah, I could get 27 again maybe.
All right, a bandit. All right. Jesus.
Well handicapped.
Jamie, good stuff. Thanks very much. Best of luck with the return from injury.
Thank you.
That's Friday Night Racing this week. A reminder, of course, it's brought to you in association with goracing.ie. Check out that website in advance of any of your trips to the race courses and enjoy them this weekend wherever you go. Thanks very much.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.